Okay, Atma Bodha, verse 49. Jivan muktas tutad vidvan. Jivan muktas tutad vidvan. Purvo padigunans tyajet. Purvo padigunans tyajet. Sasacharadi dharmatvam. Sasacharadi dharmatvam. Bhajet brahmarakitavat. Bhajet brahmarakitavat. Jivan muktas tutad vidvan. Jivan muktas tutad vidvan. Purvo padigunans tyajet. Purvo padigunans tyajet. Sasacharadi dharmatvam. Sasacharadi dharmatvam. Bhajet brahmarakitavat. Bhajet brahmarakitavat. Sandeep. Jivan muktaha. Jivan muktaha. Tu. Tet vidvan. Purva upadi gunan tyajet. Sa sat chit adi dharmatvam. Bhajet brahmara ketavat. Everybody get it?
Do you see words or do you just see letters like me?
Well, after 30 years, I have moved. I have moved on from letters. but I know that that's the condition for a long time. So.
Okay.
And to get beyond that condition, you have to practice reading a lot. And then you'll see it just like English.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Here we go. Jivan muktaha. Now, nominative singular, jivan muktaha. Okay? Muktaha is a past passive participle from much, where much plus ta becomes mukta. It means liberated. So here it is, the one who is liberated. Jivan is a present participle that we haven't learned in class yet. But it means living, liberated while living. So the one who is in, we use Jivan Mukta as a word for one who has this knowledge, Nishta in this knowledge, but it literally means one who is liberated while living, Jivan Mukta. Jivan being a past passive participle. Okay. So Jivan Muktaha, nominative singular, two, it's just two means whereas or but it's often just used to differentiate something from another, from someone else. So you could say with the two, the jivan muktaha, differentiated from the one who doesn't have knowledge. So that so you could say where, if it's in context, if two or but fits in English, you can translate it. But no, the idea is that it's differentiating it from something else. So two is an indeclinable, often translated as but.
From something else?
Yeah, like if I say the jivan mukta as opposed to somebody who's not liberated, it can be meant to differentiate or to highlight something as opposed to others, okay? One thing as opposed to other things. So jivan mukta, two. The one who is living liberated, so nominative singular, tad vidvan. Now, vidvan is the nominative singular from vidvat. Vid means knowledge, to know. Vid plus vat means one who has knowledge. Vidvan is the masculine nominative singular. So vidvan, the one who has knowledge, tat of that. Of what? Of Brahman. Because we have to be reading in the context here. So all of these verses are talking about Brahman, about the Atma. So the jivan muktaha, the one living liberated, tat vidvan, the one who has knowledge of that. So these are in apposition. The jivan mukta is the tad vidvan, is the one who has knowledge of that. Purva upadi gunan, this is a compound, ending in the accusative plural like Raman, purva upadi gunan, the verb tyajate. Tyajate is the potential mood, you haven't learned it yet. Potential mood here is used in terms of definiteness. One gives up. The vidvan, who is the jivan mukta, tyajate, abandons, gives up. Definitely abandons, gives up what? Purva upadi gunan. The qualities, the gunas, qualities are attributes of the upadis, which were purva, which were previously upadis, right? Previously upadis means you took the atma to be this. This what makes this body and mind and sense organs an upadi, a conditioning adjunct, is that if they lend themselves to the identification, the ahankara's identification. So when you say the word aham, I am, instead of that resolving because you're a jnani, it resolves into the atma. It doesn't at all resolve into the atma. It causes, well, for some of your self-knowledge, the ahankara, which is labeling the atma, identifies the atma with the body. And so the body becomes an upadi. The mind becomes an upadi. Sense organs become an upadi. Moods and emotions become an upadi. Because all of them lend themselves to that adhyasa. Means that superimposition, right? Caused by ignorance. So here, he's making that point here. If I were to go to the bhasha, which you don't have a bhasha, but I'm just going to read this, where it says, purva upadi gunan tyajate. Let's look at this sentence, and then I'll tell you what he says in the bhasha. The jivan mukta, the one living liberated, who has knowledge of that, of the atma, purva upadi gunan tyajate, that one abandons or gives up the qualities of the upadis, of the previous upadis. Okay?
I'm sorry, what is the previous referring to?
It's really referring to the one who has ajnana, the upadis, that which was taken previously as an upadi.
Before knowledge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So listen, and it says here in the bhasha, it's just kind of nice, I'll translate it for you. Anadi avidya parikalpita purva upadi. The upadi, like deha, manas, buddhi, etc. These gunas, these qualities, these gunas, sattvadi, were taken to be real. The qualities of what? Such as the body, the mind, the buddhi, etc. These upadis, which were previously anadi avidya parikalpita, projected by beginningless ignorance. Anadi, beginningless, avidya, ignorance, parikalpita, projected, right? Imagine, projected. Purva upadi, these upadis which previously were projected by beginningless ignorance, right? Parityajate, this is in the bhasha, having completely abandoned those. What does that mean? I no longer take them to be real. It's not that they go away. It's that you no longer have it, you abandon them completely in the sense of identification. You no longer take these to be yourself. Okay, so, jivan muktas tu tad vidvan, purva upadi gunan tyajet, sa, he, sat chit adi dharmatvam bhajet. He, who's the he? The jivan mukta who has that knowledge, Ted Vidvan, the jivan mukta who's a Ted Vidvan, who knows the self, he, sat existence, chit consciousness, adi, etc., that'd be the atmas, ananda, sat chit ananda, dharmatvam, the qualities or the nature, right, of the sat chit, of being existent, the my dharmas, I am an existent, conscious, limitless being. Sat chit adi dharmatvam. Bhajate. Sa bhajate. Potential again. Bhajate means to take to oneself. To obtain for oneself. He takes on, he obtains for himself these dharmas. Sat chit ananda the adi. Sat chit adi dharmatvam. In other words, now the aham, right, resolves into the Satchitatma. Instead of the aham, the ahankar resolving into the upadhi. Right? And so now, it says, first he gives up these upadhis, and then takes to himself, bhajet, the satchit adi dharmatvam. Brahmarakitavat. Just like a brahmarakita, the worm that becomes a butterfly. Brahmara is like a bee or a butterfly. The kita is that a worm. You know how the little worm or what builds a little cocoon around itself and then comes out as a butterfly? So it's just a stock example. Just like something that was small and homely transforms itself into a beautiful butterfly.
Well, that's what we're doing
here,
right?
Yeah. So you initially, because of ajnanam, because of ignorance, you take yourself to be this limited creature subject to change and birth and death, right? But then, for the person who's a jivan mukta, living liberated, who has knowledge of the self, what happens is those upadhis are shed, right? Like the worm in the cocoon, the cocoon is shed and the beautiful butterfly flies away. So like that, these upadhis are shed, and I then take to myself, I regain myself. Right? What do I regain? What do I gain? I gain myself. I partake of my own being as Satchit Atma. I take to myself the qualities that belong to me. You see it?
Yeah.
When it says Brahmarakita Vat, that Vat is that indeclinable, that means like. Vat, Eva, Yata. These words, Yata, just as. Vat, like. Eva, like.
You know, one of the upadhis that they don't seem to consider is your political viewpoint, you know? It seems to be absent.
That's the buddhi, Ed.
Yeah, okay.
That's the buddhi. Because those are convictions.
Yeah.
So all convictions would be included in the buddhi. More the emotions are included in the manas.
Oh,
convictions in
okay.
The buddhi.
Okay.
And then you have the ahankara, which is saying, you know, I'm a political beast, right?
Yeah, because they don't seem to be hassled by, I don't, here in the tradition, I don't hear them hassled by political viewpoints, you know.
Because that's not part of the tradition. And
yeah.
The tradition is your Brahman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it frees you from your political viewpoint.
But the Gitas will get into that, though.
Yeah, but it makes them mitya. Right? It gives you a standpoint. The Gita doesn't get into political viewpoints. It gets into dharma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
You know, what is dharma?
Yeah.
And so
it's
here, deeper. Dharma adharma. And that has to do with relative reality, right? What is good? It gets into the culture and all of that. You're right. In terms of Arjuna in chapter 1, went into a lot of culture. And also, Krishna will get into some culture, some of the Vedic culture, and some of the karmas that need to be done. But that's not the tatparya. The tatparya means the essential vision. Tatparya, there's two. Atmajnanam, from to recognizing who I am, and karma yoga. These are the top parts of the Upanishad. Karma yoga means how to be in the world in such a way that I gain antakarana shuddhi. Right? That's the top part of you. Those two things, Sankhya and yoga. We're starting now in the Bhagavad Gita. We're now just starting to move into this. So it's a very important part of the Gita. Is to understand those attitudes. Okay?
It's nice.
So does everybody see this? Let's chant it again. Jivan muktas titadvitan. Jivan muktas titadvitan. Jivan muktas titadvitan. Purvo padi gunans jajet. Purvo padi gunans jajet. Sasachiran. Sasachiradi dharmatvam, sasachiradi dharmatvam, bhajet brahmarakitavat, bhajet brahmarakitavat, tirtva moharnavam hatva, Kirkwa moharnavam hatwa ragadveshadirakshasan ragadveshadirakshasan yogi shanti samayutta yogi shanti samayutta sorry, we have to put it this hard there. Yogi shanti samayutta yogi shanti samayutta atma ramo virajate atma ramo virajate tiritva moharnavam hatva tiritva moharnavam hatva ragadveshadirakshasan ragadveshadirakshasan yogi shanta samayutta yogi shanta samayutta atma ramo virajate atma ramo virajate.
Did we translate that second line?
We did it.
In 49.
I'm sorry, we did. Yeah.
Where was I?
Let's go
well,
on.
You were with the booty to tell up politics.
Tiritva moha arnavam. Tiritva moha arnavam. Hatva raga dvesha adi rakshasan. Yogi shanti samayuktaha. Atma ramo virajate. Actually, I think it should be Atma Aramaha. I'm going to break that differently.
No.
Atma, because it's a compound here. Atma Aramaha virajate. Same meaning. Tirtva, having crossed indeclinable past participle. Tirtva, having crossed moha arnavam. Arnava is ocean. The ocean of delusion. Right? Moha is delusion. Moha arnavam. Tirtva moha arnavam. Having crossed the ocean of delusion. Hatwa, from hun, to kill. Having killed, another indeclinable past participle. So when you line the indeclinable past participles up, having done this, and then having done that, and then having done that, then blah, blah, blah. So the order is important here. So the first thing, having crossed over, having crossed the ocean of delusion, or having killed, having destroyed, raga dveshadi rakshasan, accusative plural, the rakshasas, the demons, beginning with raga and dvesha. Your raga is your positive passion and dvesha, hatred, your likes and dislikes. Usually we translate raga, dvesha as likes and dislikes. So having crossed the ocean of delusion, having destroyed the demons, the rakshasas, beginning with raga and dvesha, beginning with your likes and dislikes, the yogi, from yogin, nominative singular, an in-ending, you haven't learned in-ending nouns yet. So yogin, the nominative singular of yogin, is yogi. The yogi really means, he gives self now, shanti samayuktaha, who is endowed with samayuktaha, the one who is endowed with, the one who possesses shanti. So the yogis can say that karma yogi means the one who has shama, dhamma, upadati, titiksha, all of those qualities of mind, right? Yogi, shanti samayuktaha, endowed with the shanti, that peace. Atma aramaha, arama, reveling, enjoying the self. Virajate, shines.
Can aramaha also mean in comfort, comfortably? Or is it mostly reveling? Maybe that's what it means. Aram means I just sit comfortably.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that would make sense, right?
Yeah,
I could look it up in the same. Yeah, yeah. But we would say it's kind of, often we translate it as reveling in or playing and enjoying Like, I think in the Bhasha they use Krida, which means kind of playing, and see what he says. Arama has Krida, the one whose play or enjoyment, the one whose enjoyment is the self. So you could say reveling in the self, or the one whose happiness or comfort or play or enjoyment is the Atma. That one, Viraj, can just mean to shine. Virajate, he shines. There's another way of taking this too, because obviously it's kind of a play on Rama crossing the ocean to rescue Sita. You know, so sometimes it can be used kind of metaphorically like that. And so in the Bhasha, he says like this, Artantram Dwanyante, another meaning that we can take here, that is, Dwanyante means kind of is subtly understood. Okay? He says, Sri Ramaha Samudram Tirtwa, Rama, having crossed the Samudra, the ocean, Ravanadi Rakshasan Hatwa, having killed off all of the Rakshasas, beginning with Ravana, right? Sita eva shantihi. Sita alone is the shanti. Because Rama then kills all the Rakshasas and gets reunited with Sita, which is the shanti. Tayasa metaha, joined with her, Rajate, he rules the kingdom. Ayodhyayam vidrimbate, right? He rules the kingdom. So here, because it's brought to mind, right? For those who know the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, when you read this, crossing the ocean, killing off the Rakshasas, you think of Rama right away. So then, if you think of Rama, you think of it like this. Tirtva moha arnavam, having crossed this ocean of delusion, hatwa raga dveshadi rakshasan, having killed off the rakshasas, raga and dvesha, etc., the yogi, endowed with shanti, then atma ramaha, enjoying himself, virajate, rules the kingdom. Means he sits in himself. He sits in himself, and then from his own being, you know, shines out and sits in the kingdom of his being.
So virajate also means sits.
It means to like to rule or to be anointed. Yeah.
So the Sita is what? Is that the Atma or the?
It's the peace or the shanti. You know, because when one gains knowledge, right, then one gains knowledge and that antakarna shuddhi has taken place, the shama dhamma. So you have nishta now. Because your mind has worked through all of the raga dveshas, conquered them. The raga dveshas are conquered. When the raga dveshas are conquered, then what is the state of mind?
Peaceful.
Just on a peace. So enjoying myself, my mind shines enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. So it's really a beautiful verse. Do you see it?
Yeah. I've never thought of the Ramayana before, in terms of, you know, because it's very commonly said to cross the ocean of Mahana, and that's very common, but not, I've never thought of or heard of the Ramayana in that context.
Well, sometimes the Ramayana is viewed as a metaphor for Atma Jnana.
Yeah, that's really lovely.
It's really lovely, yeah. Swamiji often does it when he teaches the Ramayana just as the story, but then he'll also tell it as metaphor for gaining self-knowledge.
So what was the first meaning?
Tirtva moha aranavam, having crossed the aranava, the ocean of moha, of delusion, hatva, having killed, raga dveshadi rakshasan, the demons, beginning with likes and dislikes, the yogi, united with shanti, endowed with shanti, Atma Ramaha, reveling in the self, Virajate, shines, abides, sits comfortably, all of that.
Beautiful.
Bahya Nitya Sukha Saktim. Bahya Nitya Sukha Saktim. Hetvatma Sukha Nirvritaha. Katasta Deepavat Shashvata. Katasta deepavat shashvata antareva prakashate. Antareva prakashate.